Good, well, I've got a very strict time limit, so I shall aim to keep to that, because I've got 7 points I want to cover in 14 minutes. So I'm using preacher's time, that's about 10 minutes per point, so I will try and keep to that. We wanted to really be thinking about church planting, and what I want to start with is actually, as it were, justifying why we do church planting, because often the thing that people say to me is, why on earth are you thinking about church planting when we've got loads of churches that need restoring and relaunching? You know, we'd love to plant, but we've only got sort of 8 people and a butterfly in our church, and the butterfly's not interested in planting, so we really, you know, why are we doing this? Let's be restoring the churches that we've got. Well, the first thing I want to say is it's not either or. It isn't a case of, if we're going to be planting, then we can't be restoring and working to relaunch churches within the partnership who maybe for various reasons aren't in the sort of state they would like to be. So in everything I say subsequently, bear that in mind, that I'm not saying it's an either-or situation. It can be both and. But there are advantages to planting a church that you simply will not have in restoring an existing one. And I want to list some of those advantages and throw them out for you to be thinking about. There's no time, unfortunately, for questions or for you to disagree with me, so I'll just throw out what I like. I like that sort of preaching, you see. It's like itinerant ministry. Be as rude as you like because you're going, and then no one, you don't have to pick up the pieces. So why should we be planting instead of restoring? Well, firstly, in a church plant, you don't have difficult people. Now, you may be thinking, well, Eric, we don't have difficult people in our church anyway. And in which case, the Lord bless you. Tell us where you buried them and we'll put ours there as well. The fact is, in restoration, you often find yourself dealing with difficult people. If you're a small church, you'll almost certainly have the ruling family. The family who's run things for years before you got there. And often, sadly, they're not a particularly spiritual family. Sometimes they are, but often they're not. And that means that when you're seeking to grow a work, often a lot of energy is diverted into internal fights and trying to sort out how you're going to move this or that because it was given in memory of Aunt Ethel and nobody can ever move that table or that piano or whatever. If only arson was legal, restoration would be so much easier. But arson isn't legal, and so therefore we find ourselves having these sort of battles and fights. Now, in church planting, you just don't have that. You handpick the people, and the difficult ones you leave behind. You take the people who are sharing a vision, who understand what it's about, and who are therefore able to put all their energy into getting the gospel out to unbelievers rather than futile arguments about flower arrangements and all the other things that seem to bog us down with restoration. So that's the first one. No difficult people. Secondly, with a church plant, you're able to choose the location. How many of you, don't answer this, it's a rhetorical question, how many of you would put your church where it is today if you were starting today? So often our churches aren't quite where we'd want them to be. They're in the middle of a shopping centre, or crucially for today's lazy generation, there has to be a car park within 4 yards of the church, or people just can't get there. It's just that bit too far to walk. And so often churches were built maybe 50, 100 years ago when people didn't have cars and there's no provision for parking. Or actually the population that we're seeking to reach don't actually live near our building. Maybe nobody lives near our building anymore. It's all offices and things like that. Maybe the building isn't what we'd like. It's a funny shape, or there's bits here, or there's something not quite right about it. With church planting, you're starting from scratch. You can choose the location with a much greater degree of flexibility. You can meet in buildings that are perhaps more suitable, community centres, schools, or whatever, until you finally build your purpose-built mega church, because, of course, we're going to have very successful church plants. So you can choose the location. You don't inherit it. By the time I finish, you're going to leave your churches and go and plant, I'm sure. Thirdly, there is a greater element of risk in church planting that I think actually builds faith. I think one reason why we perhaps prefer the idea of restoration is that in some ways it's less risky. It's more difficult, and you've got all those people who potentially you might end up murdering, but actually there is less risk because you're dealing with something that is already established, possibly already has a building, possibly already has some financial resources. With church planting, you don't have any of that. It really is starting from scratch. It really is stepping into the unknown. And I believe that element of risk actually builds faith. It encourages us to trust God in ways that perhaps in the West we're not used to trusting God. We like to trust God and have everything else all in place. And that sort of trusting we're quite comfortable with. The idea of trusting God when actually none of those things are in place feels a lot more risky, a lot less safe. That actually means we have to depend on God. With church planting, if God does not turn up, the thing will collapse. In a lot of churches I visit, I'm not sure God has turned up for a very long time, and nobody has even noticed. They just carry on. That obviously wasn't Sussex Gospel Partnership churches I visited, but some of the others. There's that sense when you're planting of that need to seek God in prayer, that sense of urgency, that sense of dependence that we can so often lose in the comfortableness of established churches, where we would pay lip service to our utter dependence on God, but actually we know things will keep running quite nicely for quite a long time. And I think we lose something in that whole dynamic of faith when we don't actually step out in that way and trust Him. Fourthly, it's easier for other denominations to be involved when we're planting what you might call a neutral church. And by neutral, I don't mean everyone would wear sort of pale brown colours or that it wouldn't take a stand on any issues. But the churches that we plant maybe as a gospel partnership won't be obviously denominational churches. And therefore, it's easier for people across the denominations within the gospel partnership to really get behind it. Whereas if we're being asked to put our resources into supporting, say, the relaunch of, I'm trying to think of a name that doesn't apply to any church here, but I put my foot in it, which I usually do, you know, sort of St. Peter's in Netherwold, which is down to 8 members and has a collapsing building, that perhaps it would be some who were not in the tradition of whatever tradition that church was, who would feel, well, we can't really get behind that. You know, really, the whatever denomination it is, their church commissioners should be paying, or this should be happening. And there perhaps be that sense of it's a denominational project. Whereas if we're planting from scratch, and from the very start it has been owned by the whole of the gospel partnership, then that actually encourages us to work across any denominational boundaries with a clear focus on getting the gospel out to the world. And I think that would be, for me, that is my greatest dream for the gospel partnership, is to see churches come into being that aren't anything other than evangelical, gospel-proclaiming churches. And I don't know quite how that's going to work, and I'm making this bit up, so I'll probably get shot afterwards for saying all this, but it'd be good to have churches that aren't anything other than evangelical. And we're not saying, well, this is the FIC one, this is the Baptist one, this is the Anglican one. But actually we can say, no, this church came into being as God worked through His people of all the evangelical groups within the gospel partnership. And this is the fruit, as it were, of that. I think it would be easier for us to do if we actually are able to work across denominations. Fourthly, fifthly, whatever it is, my numbers have gone a bit wonky here. I seem to have 2 4s and not any others, so bear with me on that. But the next point, you see, if I had PowerPoint, it'd all be clear, wouldn't it? Instead, I've got scribbled little notes here. But still, it was good enough for Wesley, it's good enough for me. The next point of whatever number is that it's easier to have an agreed vision and gospel focus from the start when you're planting. When you inherit a church, you inherit all sorts of people, and they perhaps have all sorts of different ideas about what church really is. I worked with a church for some years, I sort of inherited it, and took it on, and we were talking about whether or not to put windows in the doors. They had sort of solid doors, not even nice sort of solid oak, it was sort of solid MFI plywood doors, and it meant that nobody could see into the church before they came in, and I think that intimidated people. So I said, right, we're going to put windows in the doors. And one of the deacons was outraged. He said, if you do that, he said, we're going to have non-Christians peeking in. And I sort of went along with it a bit. I said, oh, you're right. I said, in fact, if we're not careful, they're going to come in. And he didn't see what I was. He said, yes, you're right, they will. Completely fell into it. And there is that danger that with the churches that we find ourselves taking over, there's all sorts of ideas about what church is, what church is for. When we're planting from scratch, we can set out that vision of what sort of church it will be, what it means to be a part of this church, what the vision for this church will be. And because we then hand-pick the people who are going to be on it, it gives a clarity and focus to the understanding of the nature of church that you simply don't get when you're taking on a church for restoration. Not that I'm against restoration, that would be a whole different talk, and I've only got a few minutes left, and then they turn me off. It also means, this is the final point, that you can have unity from the start about secondary issues. I think this is perhaps a different point from having a gospel focus, a vision of what it means to be church, that there's also that whole issue of secondary issues that comes up in churches. People's different understanding of this or that. And I think when we're planting from scratch, we can have all of that agreed beforehand. It doesn't mean we don't allow diversity. It doesn't mean it has to be a sort of mono-theological church in the sense that everyone must agree on every point. I think that would actually be quite boring and quite limiting. But it does mean, again, we can have clarity about secondary issues and have those things resolved before the church is planted. And so in doing so, again, all the energy goes into reaching people rather than into fighting those inward battles that so often dominate so much of church life and so often take up so much of our time and emotional energy. So I do believe there's a place for restoring churches. That's actually been a big part of my ministry in the past, and I believe it can be done very successfully and very well. It would be more difficult for us to do that as a gospel partnership. I do believe as a gospel partnership, it would actually be relatively straightforward for us to plant churches. It's not rocket science. It's actually quite a straightforward process. And that for all the reasons I've set out there, I think it's something we should be really taking on board and really working towards. So that dream of seeing churches across Sussex that were brought into being by God at work through this partnership.